There is a scene in the 1976 movie Rocky where Rocky goes by Adrian's house to ask her out. Yo, Adrian. That was my impersonation of Rocky. Yeah, it was pretty good, I thought. Ugh. To his offer, she says, "It's Thanksgiving." "Yeah," Rocky says in reply, "to you it's Thanksgiving, to me it's Thursday." To one, the day was a holiday to give thanks. To the other, it was just Thursday. We're going to look this morning at a well-known parable Jesus told of a father and two sons. As we consider the two sons, it may be that you find yourself in one of them. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to read. Verse 11 is where we're going to start. Will Thursday be for you a day of thanksgiving, or will it just be Thursday? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "A man had two sons," Jesus speaking. "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'" Will it be Thursday, or will it be Thanksgiving? Thursday will be Thanksgiving if you get past what I term defiant selfishness. Life is not about you. The younger son thought so. He thought life was about him, so he asked his father for the share of his inheritance. It would have been one-third because he would have been the younger son. It might have even been less if in real life, in a family, had there been daughters. But roughly a third of it was his. And that's normally done at death. So what the son was expressing to the father was, "I wish you were dead. He wanted what he wanted so badly. The son had all the answers. So he converted anything, that any valuables that he had, anything, into cash, and he took off. It says he took off to a far country. Because he had at that point believed the first biggest lie, that he could be like God, that he could decide right from wrong. Well, it wasn't very long that he had wasted all of his money on loose living, is the way the Good News, or the New American Standard, terms it. Later on, the brother probably identifies it a little closely with prostitutes, with loose living. Everything the father had taught him, he said, "I know better." And he went off on his way. He lived only for the moment. He wanted to be satisfied right then. And he very soon found himself in trouble. And about the time he found himself troubled, about the time that he got the bank statement and it showed zeros, famine hit. Went from bad to worse. He was so desperate, he went to work for a Gentile. He was so desperate, he went to work for a Gentile feeding pigs. Now, maybe I've thought of this. Maybe after having talked with some folks from Israel that have been hiking the trail, maybe they were up on a platform. If you don't know what I'm talking about, in Israel, it's against the law to raise a pig on the ground. So they build a small deck and put them on the deck. They're not on the ground. Maybe it was that. But whatever it was humiliating. It was humiliating. He was so hungry, he wished he could eat what they had to eat. So I encourage you, get past defiant selfishness. There was a noted professor one day that was in a discussion group. And he left quite disgusted, and he slammed the door after him. One person, trying to relieve the tension, remarked, "Well, he's gone." To that, someone who knew the building better said, "No, he's not. That's a closet." And we share the same plight when we attempt to rush from God's presence. We are confined to ourselves. So how many times has your attitude been like the sons or the professors? "I know better." You're going to do things your own way. And isn't this the heart of the matter when it comes to knowing and doing God's will in your life? Often you may not want to know, thinking that if you don't know, you're off the hook. But you're not. But you're not. Have things in your life gotten as bad for this son? Thursday will just be Thursday, no matter what you do, as long as you think like the younger son, "I deserve this." Will it be Thursday, or will it be Thanksgiving? Thursday will be Thanksgiving if you get past what I term passive self-absorption. There's a difference between the two sons. One was defiant. "I want what I want. I want it right now." The other was passive, but life was all about him too. And life is not about you. Jesus had drawn this crowd, a crowd of tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors and Gentiles, sellouts and Gentiles. And the Pharisees were watching. And he said, as he teaches them this parable, in fact, he's been telling them a series of parables defending his ministry. And so as we think about the older son comes in from the field. He was doing all that he was supposed to do. I'm sure Dad that morning had said, "Son, I need you to do X, Y, and Z." And he said, "I'm going to do X, Y, and Z." And he was out there doing everything that the father said. But he comes in to find a party, singing and dancing and music and all this stuff, and he can't believe it. Well, surely he had missed his brother, hadn't he? Surely he had been concerned for his well-being, but he became angry. Why? Why does he become angry? Did he not think the younger son worthy of such? Maybe it was that he didn't want his part wasted, because everything that they were living on now was going to become his. Maybe the older brother was being self-righteous. Maybe he wanted his brother to pay for his behavior. He displayed envy at every turn upon his brother's return. Father threw a party and he got mad. He became jealous. He became envious. It was past selfish, past self-centered, to self-absorbed. If I ever say to you, you're self-absorbed, I'm not saying you're jealous. I'm not saying you're envious. I've gone one step past that, at least. He was more worried about what it meant for him than the fact that his older brother was home. So get past self-absorption. Have you noticed too often we become like the head of a large company who told about an incident that occurred to him as he and his wife waited in line to get a driver's license renewed? Now, if you've ever been to the DMV, you know. He finally grumbled unto his wife, "Don't they know who I am?" And she replied, "Yeah, you're a plumber's son who got lucky." She was saying to him, get past being self-absorbed. Maybe you're like the older brother. You're always worried about you, your part, what you think you deserve. Self-absorbed may not adequately describe some entitled would be better. If I say that you're jealous, I've said one thing. If I've said that you're self-absorbed, you're another. But if I say you have the sense of entitlement, man, you're... And there are people that you know that fall into that class that would say, I am entitled to the good things in life. I deserve this. We let that little four-letter word, fair, creep into our thinking, and it causes us to become disgruntled and ungrateful like the older brother. It's fair if I get it, but it's not fair if you get it. Or some think, I earned this. It's fair at that point, but I earned this. This is all about what I did. So how self-absorbed are you? Will it be Thursday or will it be Thanksgiving? Well, the truth is, there is no older son who stayed with the father. Not a one of you are the older son, because all of us have went away from the father. Thursday will be Thanksgiving if you turn to the ever-searching Father. Life is about the Lord. The story of the Father really begins with the younger son coming to his senses. The Bible calls that repentance. Repentance. When the son was far off, the father saw him. In my mind's eye, as they went about their daily task, from the first day that the son left, every time the father would round the corner of the house or the corner of the stall or barn, whatever, I just have it in my mind that he looked to where he last saw the son. Every day, every opportunity, he was looking for him. This father loved his son, and he was so eager to have him back. He was looking for him. He didn't go through the, well, I told you so. I tried to get you not to do that. He just lovingly accepted him back. The father didn't want the son to prove anything or accomplish anything. He just wanted him to come back. He'd take care of the rest. He'd take care of the rest. It was interesting as you read the account that the servants went with him. Obviously, he's the master. He's the father of the house. He's their boss. He's their maybe owner. And they went with him. And as soon as he got there to the son, they embraced. And he said, quick, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. Get the robe, get the sandals, get the fattened calf, get all of this. It shows his heart, doesn't it? It shows the Father's heart. Well, the two parables in the first part of chapter 15 tell of God searching for you, the one lost to him. They both reveal his heart, the Lord's heart towards you, toward mankind. Like the shepherd who had 99 sheep where he knew where they were, there was one lost and he went looking for the one lost. Then he tells a parable of a woman who had 10 silver coins and she could count 9 of them. She knew where 9 of them were, but that 10th one had fallen into the cracks of the sofa or something. And she swept out the whole house to look for that one coin. And that's what the Father's done for you. That attitude of looking, that attitude of searching, that attitude of not being happy with the 99 or the 9. Do you have that attitude towards lost people? Let us search for them. That should be the message of our church, the message of our lives, that we are searching. We should diligently pray to see what God is doing, to seek after Him, to know how He is at work in this community, and then we need to join Him in that. We need to join Him in every way that we can. Are you thankful this morning that you know God, no matter the details of life? I just got to say, men, those of you that have not joined us on Wednesday morning, what is it, Brothers, Breakfast, and Books? You've missed it. We're in the middle of a book by J.I. Packer, and in chapter 3 of the book, Packer says, "What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the much larger fact which underlies it, the fact that He knows me. I am graven on the palms of His hands. I am never out of His mind. All my knowledge of Him depends on His sustained initiative in knowing me. I know Him because He first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me. And there is no moment when His eye is off me or His attention distracted from me. And no moment, therefore, when His care falters. This is momentous knowledge. There is unspeakable comfort, the sort of comfort that energizes, be it said, not enervates, in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that His love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery now can disillusion Him about me in the way I am so often disillusioned about myself and quench His determination to bless me." Do you know this morning the one who is ever searching? Jessup said it right this earlier. We think about Christmas, and Christmas is nothing without Easter. The birth of the Savior is nothing without the cross. Because the Father sent Jesus for you. So will Thursday be a day, Thursday, or will it be Thanksgiving? Maybe the description of the two sons hits close to home. I don't know. This year, I intend to ask our family a question. And once we get the kids to bed, maybe we can talk about it a little more. I intend to ask my family, what have you learned this year? In years past, we have gone around the table. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I want to know what God's taught them. Because, man, has the Lord been busy? Has the Lord been busy? So are you one of the two sons? The Father is searching. If you don't know Him as your Savior, will you come to Him today?